according to your science, your neurotheological science, what does God look like and what does God feel like?
So, well, we ask that question in two different ways. One, of course, is to get at the subjective nature of those questions. What does God actually feel like to a person? What do they describe? What does God look like? And what do we envision? The other way in which we look at it is, what does God look like in terms of the brain itself? When we pray, when we meditate, when we contemplate God, what are the areas of our brain that seem to be turned on or turned off when we are actually engaged in that? So let me review a couple of the subjective findings first, and then we can talk about some of the brain scans. So when one of the experiments that we did, a cute little experiment where we just gave people a blank piece of paper and said, draw what you think God looks like. And what's amazing is that you get some very fascinating kinds of drawings that are extremely diverse. And whether or not a person believes in God or not, they draw some very interesting things. And, of course, the classic thing that people draw is the anthropomorphic image of God.
Right. God, the old man in the chair.
What's that?
The old man in the chair.
The old man in the, exactly. The old man in the clouds and the beard. And that's very clear that's one way that people think about God. And, you know, interestingly, most people don't think about God that way. That actually turned up in only about 15 to 20% of the drawings that we got, and we got many hundreds of drawings from people. Far and away, the most common drawing was a more abstract drawing, and maybe it was swirls, it was different geometric shapes. Another frequent kind of genre was the nature scene, the scenes of the earth and clouds and mountains and so forth. So many people, probably about 60% or so, drew that kind of either a nature scene or something very kind of geometric, different patterns and so forth. Then interestingly, other people would draw nothing at all. And one of the things that we realized that we needed to do, in not just having people draw them, but to actually ask them what they meant by their drawings. When we looked at what people wrote when they drew nothing, there were some people who were very religious who said, I drew nothing because God is not drawable. And other people were non-religious and said, there is no God, so there's nothing to draw.
Right.
So very interesting how people, but when you think about how our brain works, we're so visual that the notion of what God looks like to us is actually something that's a pretty important thing for us to learn about. Because when we say, do you believe in God, or do you believe that God is one way or another, the first thing that usually happens to us is an image pops into our mind as to what we mean by God. Now, when we look at the brain scans, when people pray to God or meditate on God, we see some fascinating changes going on. When people are focused on God, we see an increase of activity in the front part of the brain, the frontal lobes, that help us to focus our attention. And in fact, going back to something we talked about earlier, when we asked atheists to focus on God, their frontal lobes did not turn on very much, and probably because it was just something that they couldn't really get their mind around very well because they didn't believe in it in the first place. Another part of our brain that to me is very interesting is a part of our brain called the parietal lobe, and it's located in the back top part of our brain. It normally takes all of our sensory information and helps to create a sense of ourself and a sense of how we relate to the world. When people are deep in meditation or prayer, when they feel the sense of connectedness to God or connectedness to the world or the universe, what we see in our brain scans is a decrease of activity in this area. It's almost as if when our brain is trying to create for us a sense of ourself and a sense of our orientation, but isn't working the way it normally does, maybe it doesn't have the information upon which it normally works. And what seems to happen in regard to that is that we lose our sense of self. We feel this deep sense of oneness, connectedness with the universe, and these are very, very powerful kinds of experiences that people have. That sense of oneness, the sense that they're intimately connected to God. God. And this is something, of course, that's a universal experience in religious and spiritual traditions, but something that ultimately seems to play out in terms of what's going on in the brain. And the last area I'll just mention briefly is the limbic system, the emotional areas of the brain, which many of these different parts of our emotional areas are turned on because they're such emotional experiences for people. They're filled with feelings of love, compassion, awe, fear. So many different feelings can go through a person that when they engage in these kinds of practices, those parts of the brain turn on as well. So we can see what God looks like the way we perceive of God, and we can see what God looks like in the brain itself when we're actually doing that perception.